been away. Some of the people in the first service introduced themselves to me. I'm so sorry. I really missed you. Been away for 2 weeks. So I had a weekend off. And then last week I was ministering in Windhoek. And then it's 2 weeks in a row. I miss it because I don't know. I feel like I'm out of touch with what's happening here. But it's really good to minister here this morning, just to be here with you guys. And I want to say, before we go there, before I share with you, you've probably seen that we have announced this evening service for next week, Sunday night, 6 o'clock here. I want to say in advance so that it's not a surprise to you, okay? Why are we having the theme? Let's say why. Why I can share with you as well. I just felt that we are in a stage where we experience a lot of attacks on relationships, whether it's between friends, family, husband, wife, in the church, etc. And we will be talking, and I know here we go, we'll be talking about the Jezebel spirit, not myself, okay? So I just felt that, that Lord ministered to me, my wife as well, and a lot of us. I know it's one of those topics when you talk about that, it's like very controversial. So I rather want you to pray about that, because you're not going to come here next week and find out about all the trademarks or the characteristics of that spirit, and I'm going to identify it. I want you to do it for yourself. The reason why I'm saying that is I found personal healing in that area as well, and I knew that what God gave to me, I can't keep for myself as well. I want to share that with you, not myself, but in sense the teaching we will be looking at. So next week, if you feel that, you know, that might be something that the Lord wants to minister to you in that area. Okay, and I want to say in advance here as well. When we get there, you'll see many times we identify or we think certain people are more, yes, maybe more prone. But I want to say at any given time, some of us might have been affected by that, including us as men today. Okay, so that's just something for yourself. If you feel that God can touch you maybe in that area, even if you feel, I don't know much about this, but maybe I'll give it a try. Okay, just do it for yourself. Don't do it for anybody else. Day. Next week, Sunday night, if you feel that you want to. I believe it's a tool and a key that God is giving us, me, my wife, first of all, where it starts, before we even go into the church, just to ensure that our house is in order, and then we can go further to the family, etc., etc. And just for us to protect the relationships that we have. As we know that the enemy is not he's not into building relationship and into unity and all of those kind of things. He's just breaking down, and just to ensure that we're on the same side. So on that safe and same side. I want to share with you, I ministered in the first service. I ministered the same message in Windhoek last week as well. And I want to say in advance so that you know, I'm not here to give you new revelation. I'm not here to give you something, I wouldn't say fresh, maybe God talks to you in a fresh way this morning, but I want to minister not to the head this morning, but to the heart. So we can bow our heads just for a moment, and I'm just going to pray and ask the Lord just to help me as well, just to convey that, to bring that across to the hearts, to touch our hearts, to align our hearts this morning. So Father, as we stand before you this morning, Lord, once again, Lord, we just position ourselves, and Lord, we ask you this morning, Lord, that you would just come and touch our hearts, Lord. Realign our hearts, Lord, to the values and the morals that you want us to have, Lord. Realign our hearts, Lord, so that our hearts will beat like yours, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. So I want to talk about nations and generations. If you can get the slide up there, that's part of our vision. If you look at that in the foyer when you come in, is to reach nations and generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. But I want to talk about the concept of nations and generations this morning, because we are all in it, or involved in that, or we can be involved in that, in generations, changing generations and nations this morning. This is one of those sermons that was born around the lunch table. I have such lovely elders. My wife's been away the other day, and Mark invited me for lunch, blessed me, and they are such, I love them so much. My eldest, God has just blessed me so much. But anyway, it's one of those moments when you just have a normal conversation around the lunch or something ordinary, and God just drops something into your spirit And the idea came out of that, and that's why I want to talk about nations and generations. And we were having this discussion about the pain of this world, the brokenness. Last year, and there's a lot of you here, who's grade 11 and 12? All of you. There's only a few. Okay. Few. Last year, they said that it was a record. 54.7. That's it. 54.7% of our grade 8s passed. No, not grade 8. Sorry, grade 10. I'm standard 8 and grade 10. Let me just start over again. 54.7% of our grade 10s passed last year, which was an all-time high record for our country. I know it sounds like a record for many. For me, it doesn't. I'm not negative. I'm just saying that means nearly half of our people didn't pass, didn't go through to grade 11, which is in a way, I'm not unthankful because that's actually apparently an improvement from the previous year that was about 52%. Still, it tells me the story that there's about half of that that didn't make it. I don't know if you remember last year, second half of last year, there was an article in the papers in Kitman's Whip about the 9 boys that was arrested on 3 counts of murder here on the old school. What happened in that school? Shocking things that were happening. When they interviewed the deputy director of education, she said, there are many factors that can play a role in the rising violence at school. Although alcohol and drug abuse contribute to these violent acts, Morstedt said there's also concern that parents have lost control over their children and that society's value system has fallen apart. And then she stressed that the collective effort by the community, churches, parents and schools is needed to reinstall values like respect and tolerance. Coming back to the conversation I had with Mark, and we were just talking about the pain, the fatherless generation we have. You look around yourself, or look around you, and you will find that, and some of us can identify maybe more with it this morning. I was privileged to have a father, still have a father, and none of our fathers, earthly fathers, are perfect, but some of us, we don't know that concept. This week, as I was just sitting in a course, there's a lady, Oshivambu lady, she got up, she's sharing, we're talking about the father heart of God, something, we're just touching on that. And she says to me, or to the rest of the group, she says, I never knew a father, I never had a father. It was such a foreign concept to me when they ministered at church about talking about a father. I just didn't have any frame of reference. And I remember the other night we had Andre over with us, the guy, Andre that's helping at our children's church, and he shared this story with me. He said, the other day we prayed back there, while they have children's church as we speak here. So they do this prayer with the children. And they get to this young boy. Now everybody needs to ask what they want or just pray what they want from the Lord. Do you know what his prayer was? So I want a father. When you look at it that way, I believe you can agree that there's so much pain around us. My brother, he's got a church in Oshikati. There's a lot of local people there. And he tells me 4 out of 5 young girls that is in his church are mothers without a husband, without many fathers. And many of you know stories like that. When I looked at the census statistics in preparation for the sermon, it was interesting to see that about 20% of our people has been married with a certificate. 8% on top of that is married traditionally, another 8%. I don't know what consensually means. You can help me afterwards. Come and tell me. Another 8% is married on top of that consensually. Leaves us with another 59% of people that's not married. Fatherless generation. Of those 59%, I wonder how many of them are mothers or single people with children thank God we had a week like that. That last Tuesday, or Thursday, our president announced a National Day of Prayer. I don't know about you, but I was so proud to live in a country like Namibia. There's darkness around us, but our president still knows which button to press. Our leaders still know where to call to. And that was just something beautiful that took place. That's maybe not the final solution and the ultimate solution. I believe it starts there, without taking anything away from there. But I want to talk about it this morning, about us making a difference. You know, you reach such a place when you look about all these, I want to say, negative statistics, the reality that's happening around us, and you sometimes get so discouraged that you don't know where to start. Where do I make a difference? Where do I go? I mean, can't just give up and say, well, let's just let happen whatever. God's water oor God's akker loop. I mean, that is not an answer. They say the three biggest excuses people do not get involved in any kind of assignment or things in the kingdom of God, that's according to statistics worldwide. The first one is, I'm too small and insignificant. My contribution doesn't matter. Secondly, the problem is too big. There's too many. And then the third one, I haven't got time. I don't want to get... Let's go back to Ezekiel 2. Ezekiel 2, God calls Ezekiel. And he said to me, we'll read from verse 1. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. Sorry. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. For they are impudent and stubborn children. I'm sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus say the Lord God. As for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. Though briers and thorns are with you, and you dwell among the scorpions, do not be afraid of their words or dismayed by their looks. Though they are a rebellious house, you shall speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. Now when I looked, there was a hand stretched out to me, and behold, a scroll of book was in it. Then he spread it before me, and there was writing on the inside and the outside, and written in it with lamentations and mourning and woe. We'll read up to there. God comes and God calls Ezekiel. And he gives him a message to go and deliver to the house of Israel. Now I want to stop there for a moment. I just want to share one promise with you from Isaiah 58. We'll read from, let's read from verse 7. You can just take note of that if you want to. And that's one of those things I just promised the Lord to see that coming to pass in our generation, in our church. As an answer, the Lord says here, is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Listen to this. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer, and you shall cry, and he will say, Here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. And I love this. It's so beautiful, this promise. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden, whose waters, like a spring of waters, whose water do not fail. Those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. That is just so beautiful. It's almost like the Lord is giving us this promise. And he's giving us the where we want to move to. Raising up the foundations of many generations. Becoming a garden to the brokenhearted, to the thirsty out there, to the hungry out there. Isn't that something that you desire, to be that where God just waters you, where your garden is just so lushful and green, and that others would come and run to that and ask you, what is it? What is it you have? Because God waters me. And God would use us as a church in such a way that He gives us this promise, if we feed the hungry, if we do all those things, that our light will break forth. It's a matter of Isaiah 46:10 that says, where God knows the end, when He says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. And I love it how God does this. He's just taking a few steps back. He gave us the story, He gave us the vision, He gave us the promise that that will happen when we reach such a place, when we see the need around us, when we see the brokenness, when we see the darkness around us, and we come to the realization where we make ourselves available. And God says, this and this will happen. But then He takes us a few steps back, because it hasn't happened yet. When we look in our country, when we look at where we placed each one of us, none of us, everybody included this morning, and this is my sermon this morning, my first point I want to make this morning is that it's so simple, you'll probably be surprised by that. But God sees me. God sees, or see me, whatever. He saw my substance. And my substance is more than just this body. It's my personality, my talents, my gifting, my everything that He woven together. We read in the Psalms that He fashioned, He numbered my days. He called you for a specific time, for a specific place, a specific family, a specific spiritual family. He planted you there. Then he dreamed about you, Jeremiah says. He saw you way before you were even, way before your parents even thought about you. And then living in a generation or in a nation like this where many of you maybe are sitting here this morning, you do not even have any frame of reference in terms of a father. The Lord says, I saw you. I planned you. You were not a surprise to me. Maybe you didn't know your father. But I know of a father that knew about you. That planned you. As I was in this course this week, one man gets up. He's 52. No, he's not. I don't know, probably older than that. He says to the rest of the, it's one of the pastors there. He says, it took me 52 years to forgive my father. This is what he said. He said, my father's lying in his deathbed. I'm calling. I never forgave him. And for 5 hours, I just ministered to him. He couldn't. He was in a coma. He could hear my voice. I was the last one, the last voice he heard. God set me free. God forgave me. Bitterness. God did a miraculous work. 52 years. Many such stories out there. Maybe you're sitting here with unforgiveness. Maybe you're sitting here with pain. Maybe you're sitting here with, God wasn't there for me. Or my father wasn't there for me. He didn't forget about you. He sees your struggles. He sees exactly where you will be or saw you well in advance. 2014, He knew that you will find yourself here this morning in this church. So every challenge you would face, it's not a surprise to God this morning. I sometimes, you know, it just warms my heart to think about it that way, that even though I'm sometimes, as we go through adversity and struggles and all of those kind of things, that wasn't a surprise to God. God was there in the future already. He knew exactly that you will. He saw me where I was, and He saw me, or He sees me where I am right now, in the midst of my daily walk. He's got a mission with me. Peter, you were running in the streets of Rundu, in the villages, as a little boy, God is going to send you back there to walk again in that street and among the villages, this time with him on a mission. Father, I just pray that you will call this man, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will equip him, Lord, to Lord, just to let your light come there where you've brought him up, Lord, where you planted him, Lord, where this first seed was sown into his life, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that when you send him back, Lord, he will be a new man, Lord, a new creation in Christ. God sees where we're going. He's so interested in you and me that he will ask us to dream with him when we do not feel like dreaming. When we do not feel like I am his chosen one. I shared with you about our six, 7 years, my wife is better with that, when we lost our boy at 39, I always have to get, the weak thing is not for me, man. But anyway, we lost him as a stillborn, but nevertheless, that's not the point I want to make. As we were taking a break into Scotland, just mourning, my wife more than me, because as a man, I didn't identify as close to that yet. But nevertheless, as we were at that stage of our life where we just wanted to cry and mourn, God walks into the midst of that all. He gives us a name of our little girl that's 5 years old. We're still broken. The Lord says, dream again. That's going to be the child, your child's name. And you're so unsure at that moment. You're like, God, did I hear you right? Surely we're still at this phase in our life. We haven't moved on to that one, Lord. We'll do that later. But Lord, sometimes walk into your life and you feel like I'm the broken one. I'm not the qualified one. I don't feel like that right now, Lord. I don't feel like dreaming. I just feel like mourning and crying. And the Lord says, dream. Dream with me. Dream with me. Sorry, what's your name? Philemon. There's a lot of negativity in the spiritual realm about you. There's an assignment in you in terms of the word that God wants to plant you and root you, so that you will be a tree that's stable and rooted in him. And the Lord says you need to break those promises over you, or those negative sayings, and declare his promises over your life. And he's going to use you and plant you. And you need to eat the word as with Ezekiel. Eat that scroll so they can use you mightily. And Father, I just pray for Philemon this morning. Lord, we just break every curse, every negative thing that was said over him in that spiritual realm, Lord. And we just release him as a son of you this morning. Father, we pray this morning, Lord, that he will open his mouth, Lord, and eat the scroll. Eat what you've given him, Lord. I thank you that you strengthen him, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. You know that God is just, it's just so amazing. Every time when... And I want you this morning just to maybe while we're going to do that just in a moment now, we're going to listen to a song, and I want you just to close your eyes. And then you're just going to ask the Lord, who am I to you? Because I'm not a pastor to the Lord, nor am I an engineer to the Lord. I'm not a husband to the Lord. I believe the Lord wants to whisper into your ears, into my ears. I wouldn't do the work of the Holy Spirit this morning, but I can say that he tells me, you're my son. You're my love son. I planned you. I still love you. And I'm proud about you. Let's close our eyes. Let's just listen to this old song. I want you just to ask the Holy Spirit this morning, who am I to you? Because before we go out there and change the nations, we need to realize there's a Father who loves us as much as he loves the people out there. We need to get a revelation of how much he loves us, much more than what we can think or imagine.
was there when you drew the breath of life, and I could hear your voice the first time that you cried. And though you couldn't see me, I was very near, and there's something I want you to hear. You will always be a child in my eyes, and when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're grown, I was there the first time that you prayed, and I heard all the promises you made. And when you fell before me, crying, "Father, I have sinned," I picked you up and held you close again. You will always be a child in my eyes. And when you need some love, my arms are open wide. And even when you're growing old, I hope you realize you will always be a child in my eyes. You will always be a child in my eyes.
God sees me and God calls me. That's my second point this morning. He knows my in and out. He knows my everything. He planned me. He's excited about me. I know for many of you, it's so hard to think about it that way. He loves you. Nothing you can do can cause you to love him or love you less. I'm not saying we play in sin and all of those things. And God calls me, Ezekiel 2. And then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And God's call demands acknowledgement. I told you about this game I play with my kids in the mornings very often, that when I get into the room after I've been downstairs, and they will jump into our bed and they will hide underneath the duvet, and just we play hide and seek. And then they would expect me to find them or look for them. And I would just go, "I wonder where she is. I wonder where is Isabella. I wonder where is Alexandra." And you hear the giggles. We play that game with God. God knows you. God knows where to find you. When they were looking for David, for a personal magician, for the king, although nobody else knew his name, God knew his name at that moment. He knew where to find him. God knows where to find you this morning in your safe zone, outside the place, or my safe haven, outside the place where people can ask something of me, outside that safe accountability place, or my safe zone, outside the voices of men of God, or friends, or people that will keep me accountable. Because the moment I say, "Yes, I hear you, Lord," it demands something of me. The moment I say yes, it means I'll have to come out of that place of where I've been hiding underneath my duvet of excuses of work and family and friends, and I don't know what your excuse might be this morning. Sometimes good things. God is not surprised. It's just us. I see myself as my little girl that's underneath that duvet, and sometimes I just want to have a duvet day, like you pull your head. This stuff is too much for me, Lord. It's just a mess. Why do I find myself in this, Lord? I don't know, Lord. I don't have the answer. I don't know, Lord, but I just want to do this. And we're not called to do that. Just take our heads out and say, God, that is the reality. That is the brokenness I find myself with. The colleagues, the ones that doesn't love you, or the ones that they swear and they do all those kind of things, but I don't want to be there, Lord, because I don't really want to be on this side where it's safe and where it's nice. But we're called to be in the midst of that mess. And the moment the Lord calls us and we acknowledge, God's call demands a change of character. Okay, and if you read that Ezekiel 2, I think it's verse 8, he says, "But you son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you." The moment we acknowledge, the moment we come to that place where we hear God's voice, or we acknowledge, it calls us for a change of behavior, a change of character. God knows exactly what you need for your destiny. And I'm not saying wait till God is finished with you before you do anything for God. Please. Because then you will wait till he comes back. Because then we'll only be, even then we will not be ready. And then he'll have to do a perfect and final work on us. But there are certain assignments in life when God has called us to, that he needs to work on our character and where we are right now. And we got to submit to that process, whether you like it or not. Often it's on the grinding mill, so it's painful and a lot of stuff comes out of that surface. But as God is working on us at that moment when he's changing our character, there's an assignment right around you that needs to be completed. When they were building the tabernacle, let me just get it right, Exodus 31. The Bible says that Bezalel, Aholiab, okay, forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. They were called, they were appointed, and then they were filled with the spirit of wisdom and understanding, not to pray, not to sing a song, but how to use their hands and how to bring their skills to the table. I want to say to you, you've got something this morning that God has placed inside of you. And maybe you're not called to be here, but God has called you for something somewhere specifically. And you're called, and God expects you to reach a place of honesty. Saying, God, I hear your voice, like Ezekiel. I hear your voice. I'm willing, Lord. Who shall I send? I'm so excited. There's so many new things this year that we're taking on, or that we believe God is taking on. One of them is our Wolfersbaai plant, Langstrand plant. I'm just so excited about it. It's just a cell group. Robert, Rolien is not here. Robert, just raise your hand so that people just see where you are. You know, that's just, I don't look at it what it's like now, whether it's four or five people. I choose not to look at it like that. Let's go slower again. I choose not to look at it like that way. Why? I choose to look through my eyes of faith. So God, I see a church there. I see people being touched there. I see many more coming in there. And if you know about friends, about that, that's not in a church, that's not, that you think might need the Lord, this is the man you introduce him to. We're going to have, Father, we just bless him and Rolien, Lord, and we just pray, Lord, that you will just continue to use them mightily, Lord. We thank you, Father, for for what you've been doing, Lord, in preparing them, Lord, for a time and season as such, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're about to do even more and greater miracles in their lives, Lord, in the lives around them. Father, we thank you for the growth and increase that will come through them. Father, we thank you for a greater understanding of you, Lord, a greater understanding of your love, Lord. And as you continue to expand that inside of them, Lord, that an expansion of the kingdom will take place, Lord, where they are planted, in Jesus' name. God sees us. God calls us. His call demands honesty or acknowledgement, and his call demands a change of character, but his call also demands a response. Oh, now I can preach on this one. Our charismatics, we struggle with this one. Let me just stand still for a moment there. We hear God's voice. We get into his presence. We get that one quite often. And then the Lord spoke to me. And then I see it so often that we enjoy, we talk about this great experience I had in the Lord's presence. You wouldn't believe it. The tangible presence of the Lord was so imminent. He was so present there. And I just had goosebumps, you know. I was crying, and it's just so beautiful. I was in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, the Lord spoke to me, and I somebody prayed for me, and I fell over, and I was lying there on the ground for 10 minutes, and I got up, and I went out there for the week and another week, and I came back, and I'm looking for another experience with the Lord. And the next time, I'm just expecting that somebody will pray, and then I'm going to probably speak in tongues another 10 times, and then we'll interpret it 20 times, and then I'll speak another. And we get so mesmerized and intrigued into this gifting thing, which is wonderful, but we never get to the next step, which is the revelation of work. Doing something about it, just doing appropriate response. What is the appropriate response this morning to when God calls me? Not taking away anything of those things, and which is, we can grow in that a lot. I'm just saying, sometimes we can just be so in the moment, we forget to take out of that moment what God wants to teach us. Somebody once said, you know, it's okay if you fall over when somebody prays for you. You know, we get different and weird things, but I'm not saying that's wrong. I've been exposed to that as well. All I'm saying is, it's fine if you fall over. It's fine if you had an encounter. All I want to ask you is, what are you going to do when you get up? Or I'm just going to expect to fall over again and have another nice experience. And I love what Werner said the other night when he shared here, when he said his boss or somebody came to them and he gave them a sheet of paper and he asked them, write down what are you waiting for. I love it because I can so easily identify with that. Every one of us at this stage in life, there are certain unaccomplished tasks, assignments, goals, dreams. We all want to reach that and accomplish that. But deep down there, we've all got that list. When that happens, and when the children, when this and when that, what are you waiting for this morning? Maybe God has already called you. Maybe God has already, you already reached that place of acknowledgement. He's busy with you. You're on the potter's wheel, and now I'm just waiting. I'm not saying run ahead of God, please. I'm not saying that. Sometimes we can do things in the flesh, but I'm talking about sometimes when our excuses runs out, and I'm trying to find fresh ones. And you know what? The devil is so good in giving us that. He's got a big supply of that, of excuses. I can justify that I'm in a good place to say no at the moment or later. I'm just talking about myself. I'm just talking about you and me. When God calls us for something specific, I'm not calling you to help at the ushers this morning. If you want to do that, great. But I'm talking about when God calls us for a specific task somewhere in your community, in between nations and between generations, when you need to reach out to that specific colleague of yours or that family member of yours, and you just don't want to go there. Changing nations and generations, because that's what the Lord called us to. We got to be relentless to see his kingdom coming. Relentless to see that his kingdom is coming. And my last one this morning is, it's so obvious, God sends me. God sees me, he calls me, and he sends me. Ezekiel, listen to this. I walk in circles all around that. Sorry, Richard, I know I'm have to tell myself, I'm not allowed to do that. It's not good for our recording, nevertheless. Ezekiel 2 verse 3 says, and he said to me, Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day. Oh man, I don't know about you, but this is so encouraging. God says to him, I'm sending you to a rebellious nation. They will not listen to you. But I want you to speak the word. How encouraging is that from God? I mean, I would probably say to the Lord, Lord, but if you knew what the outcome would be, why should I go anyway? I mean, you knew anyway they're going to say no and laugh at me and make a joke about that. But it's about obedience. Being obedient to what the Lord has called us. And you know, there's one promise the Lord gives us when he sends us that you will always can always count on. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Did you know what's the last promise the Lord gave us before he left earth? And lo, I'll always be with you. And every time you step out in faith, and every time you move out there, Lord, I don't know, I'm going to take the step of faith, and I'm going to talk to that person. I'm just going to tell him maybe this is one thing, and I don't know, I might be disgraced, and I might be embarrassed, but Lord, you're with me. Because the Lord told Ezekiel, listen, this is going to happen. Know in advance that they're going to laugh at you. They're going to... I said, I just can't get my head around it. If the Lord would tell me today, talk to that sister over there and just tell her this and this and this. But she's going to joke and she's going to laugh and she's going to... will be a hard one to do. Because I know the outcome. If the Lord said that will happen, that's what will happen. But God is testing my obedience, my willingness to partner with him and what the Holy Spirit is doing. Sorry, your name, blue shirt, yeah. Your name, Joseph. I just sense him out. The Lord is giving you Revelation 3:8 that says the Lord has opened a door in front of you and no one can shut that door. He's calling you to walk through that door. There's something waiting on the other side of the door. An assignment that God has given for you that will touch nations. And I tell you what, when God promises us his accompanying presence, it's accompanied with signs and wonders. And this is where Christianity gets so exciting, or what we do is such an exciting journey. I remember a few years ago when Pastor Peter Pretorius was ministering there in London, they minister among Jam Ministries. They minister among the kids all over Africa, many countries in Africa. They feed the kids one meal a day. Back then it was 400,000. I don't know. They were aiming for 1 million kids a day they wanted to feed. Nevertheless, they are also ministering among, they have crusades, etc. And he shared this story. He says he was praying once for a child, young boy, who didn't have eyes in his eye sockets. There was nothing. It's just this empty. And as he's praying for sight, not talking about eyes that's there and they can't see. I'm talking about nothing there. As he's praying, it pops in to the eye sockets. He says your level of faith is pushed to a level that you've never been before when it happens in front of your eyes. That's why we hear the miracles on missions. Every time you and me are willing to go, every time we're willing to take that step of faith and move out there, I'm not saying everybody go to Zambia, we'll get to that just now. Every time we're just willing to take that step of faith, and say, Lord, I'll talk to her. God promise you there's a miracle that wants to accompany you. There's strength and power and anointing that's with you. I am with you. The great I am, I'm with you. Are you willing to partner with me? Are you willing to see what I can do if you just become available? We'll always be sent to people. Ezekiel 2 verse 3. Son of man, I'm sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. You're not being sent to a computer. I know some of us, we work with a computer every day and we have all kinds of things, almost cars or your engineer, whatever it might be, houses. Oh, I've got a wrap up. All of us, we've got people around us. And God will always promise you His presence, He will always send you to people. None of us can sit here this morning saying we haven't got people around us, our sphere of influence. Who's in your sphere of influence this morning? That God has planted you there. Your family, father, to mother, to the children, your greater family, your colleagues. I'm sorry, you're not just there by mistake or by chance. The light has come. The kingdom has come. And my last thing I want to say this morning before we close off is that God will always have an assignment, an appropriate response. There will always be an assignment. Always His presence, always the people, and always an assignment. Go and feed the hungry. Help those in trouble. Help those in need. Feed those in hungry, spiritual. Feed those that's hungry, spiritually speaking, and physically speaking as well. It doesn't matter. We don't just go out there wandering off, wonder what I should do, just imagine what I should do. God gives you something specifically, something that makes your heart tick. A person this morning that's on your heart, that you're praying for at this moment, that you just bring before the Lord and say, Lord, I'd love to see that He meets with you this year. I'd love to see that lady, that friend of mine, meets you this year. Here's what I want us to do in a moment. We're gonna just ask the Lord. Can we get those slides up there, another one there? And I'm going to explain to you. Now I'm going to switch over into the salesman, okay? Take off the pastor's hat now. In preparing this week, I just asked the Lord, and I wanted to know, Lord, what do you want to do this morning? And I believe the Lord wants to challenge us to make ourselves available and accountable to change nations and generations. Okay. That's not the only thing we're doing at the moment. Maybe you're involved somewhere else where you're changing generations at the moment. Bless you for that. I'm just taking a few of the bigger events this year that we're definitely going to make and change or becoming available or sowing seed in changing nations and generations. The reason why I've put up the Awaken Our Men's Camp, because I believe if a woman can be touched over that weekend, if a man can be touched over that weekend of 13th to 15th of June, the whole family will be touched. The order will be in place. When we were starting to talking about this men's camp planning, it started at the end of last year, I think in October, and I'm having this conversation with Carl, and I'm sharing this just so that you will know, don't do this. Don't do what I do this morning. I'm just sharing. And I was planning, and we were thinking, how many people should we aim for, hoping for? This is our first time ever. This is going to be a yearly thing. You know, you don't want to go too big, but you don't want to go too small. And I started to be thinking, 70, 80 people maybe between the two churches. I'm embarrassed to say that. And then somewhere during this year, the Lord just stretched my faith, Isaiah 54. I shared it with you. And I thought, maybe, Lord, 150 will trust you for men. I know we're well underneath that. I know we haven't got so many men here, but that'll mean our sphere of influence, the men you've placed around me, will have to go and dig deep. So anyway, so 2 weeks ago we were at Erindi. We started with a conversation looking for venues where we can host this thing. And it's quite challenging in terms of logistics. And the only place we thought about it came up to be Erindi. We looked at the campsite, Camp Elephant, campsites, 150 men. I mean, that must be confirmation, Lord. I think that's... Anyway, so I contact them. If you know, if you've been there, you'll know that they've got the campsite. They can host 150 men, and then they've got the chalets, another 50 there as well. So I contact them and said, listen, can we have the whole, all the campsites there for that weekend? We want that to... And they came back and said, sorry, we can't give that to you. You've got to take the whole camp. You've got to take the chalets as well. I'm not going back. Anyway, long story short, I came to the realization that God wants to go beyond my 150 to 200. That's where we stand this morning. Hopefully, I don't have to preach next week and tell you 250, but I'm. That's as much as or as many we can accommodate there. And I just believe God wants us to fill that place, to fill our Awakened Conference with ladies that do not know Him, that's broken, that's needy, in your world, in my world. And what we're going to do in a moment, maybe God is talking to you about missions. And you know there's a seed inside of you that I always wanted to go to Zambia. Maybe God wants to use me. I can tell you so many stories about that. What's happening, what happened there. It's always a blessing. But if you've got family, I would consider maybe the Rundu one would be maybe a more, what shall I say, a less hostile environment or less, more practical. Let's call it that way. Whatever the Lord lays upon you. I want us to go into, and I'll tell you a story, and then we're going to go into prayer and make a commitment this morning. It's just to bow our heads, just to ask the Lord, Lord, where do you want me to change nations and generations this year? Some of us, we can't go in the missions. That's fine. And I'm not, some of you, you want to go, but you haven't asked or you've spoken to your boss, and I'm not forcing anybody. Nobody's doing this. You do it as the Spirit leads you. Or maybe you want to put your faith out there. So I want to go to Angola. I don't know, I have the finances. Don't ever think about it that way. That finances should never come in the way. God will always make a way. I've seen it so many times. I don't know about my leave, but I'm going to put my name down and I'm going to trust that the Lord will grant me that. But here's where I'm not going to take a no. To the left column. To our awakening, to our men's camp. I want to challenge you this morning. When we're going to go into the prayer right now, and we're just going to ask the Lord, Lord, and some of you maybe are away, but if you're here, I want to see you there over that weekend. Forget about money. That's not the issue this morning. All you need to ask yourself is you, and Lord, how many else you're going to, I'm going to trust you. Some of you, you will have the faces. Some of you, you'll know already. You've been praying for people. You've been trusting the Lord for Yanni and Sunny and Gwissy or whatever. And I was just preparing this morning, and I asked myself this question. Maybe there's somebody out there that you do not know, but you've just got, I want to say, the figure. I know there's one person, Lord, I have to trust you for. In the next month or so, I'm going to trust you that I'll meet up with that person that needs you. And once you heard that from the Lord, I want us to just come to the front. We've got, where's the guys? Clarence will bring that. As you have that, just to write your name down, Yaku, men's camp, in brackets, 2, 3, 4, whatever the Lord. Don't underscore the Lord here, okay? He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can think or imagine. Or Yaku, Angola mission, just even. Reason why I'm saying we're doing what we're doing here this morning is just to help us to stand in faith with you here. It's not a sales thing. I know I joked about it. And trying to sell something here to you. It's about accountability. It's about faith, putting our faith out here and praying specifically towards that. I'll share one story and then we can go into prayer. If you've been at our convergence 2 years ago, Rick Resource shared this story, and I love this story. He said this guy called Larry Walters, he always wanted to fly. So one day he and a few friends were together, probably having too many beers, and he decided today is the day I'll fly. So he took his garden chair, aluminium garden chair, and he tied 30 weather balloons to that chair. And he got a six-pack, few sandwiches, a BB gun to shoot the balloons when he wants to descend again, and also a two-way radio. And they cut him loose, and he's going up, and he didn't take into account the weather and the winds and all of that. And the wind, they pushed him just all across the local airport that was close by. And I can imagine, you know, this guy in the on the chair, strapped to the chair with the 30 weather balloons up there, and the aeroplanes coming past him. And he was in a state of panic, starting to shoot down the balloon so that he can just get down. Anyway, so it's a havoc, you know, a lot of people there, emergency services, reporters and all of that. And when they got him, arrived safely or landed safely, they interviewed him. They asked him, were you scared when you're up there? He said, of course I was scared when everything is just going past me. And then they asked him this question. They said, so why did you do that? And this was his answer. Well, you can't just sit there, can you? You can't just sit there, can you? God calls you this morning. He doesn't just call me. Forget about that. We're all called this morning to influence nations and generations. Let's close our eyes. As you listen and the Lord is ministering to you, as soon as you feel being led, I want you just to come to the front, put your name down, whatever event, and I'm going to dismiss the service at this point. Lord bless you. But may we be that agent. May we partner in what the Lord wants to do. I'm so, so excited. The Lord bless you.
Your strength I will grow. Your